Very good morning to you all. My, what a happy bunch of people you look. Come on, give me a big smile. Now hold it there a minute, just hold it there a minute. Keep laughing. Again. I suppose you're all wondering why at a religious service I'm stood up here taking pictures of you lot laughing down there. Well, it's all to do with our subject title. And the subject title, just to remind you, is Does God Control Your Life? And obviously my first thoughts were to talk about control. And being a cameraman or any photographer will tell you that you have to be in full control over the camera to get the best results. And you can alter the flash, the density, the brightness. You can change the f-stops. You can change the depth of field. You can change the aperture. You can change the focus. You can zoom in, zoom out. And there are many other different things you can do with a camera like that. And it's very complicated, isn't it? It is. But to the photographer, this is extremely easy. And he gets great pleasure in doing what he does. And he can see the end results of the thing that he has created. He created the picture. He was in control of the outcome. And this is like God. He gets great pleasure in controlling and seeing the outcome. And we can take it further. Take the artist, and he sits there with his brush, and he puts those brush strokes onto the canvas. And slowly he changes the colours and makes different shapes. And when he has finished, he has created a wonderful masterpiece. Because he was in control. And he had got wonderful and great pleasure to see it sell for perhaps millions of pounds. A pilot takes control over the airplane as it flies it through the skies. His skillful manner in which the way he does it and what feeling he gets knowing that he's in control of such an amazing piece of equipment. And so in human terms, being in control over things in life really does mean a lot to us. It brings us great pleasure. It makes us feel as if we have got power there. Not just over the practical and skillful things in life, but it can and does even alter the environment and the life upon which we live. It is a known fact, isn't it, that every single day the life of a human being is in risk, and that life can be controlled by the skillful hands of the surgeon who has to look after that life and take care of it. Intensive care units are full of such people every day. There are wonderful machines there that take control over the human being. In reality, the human being has no control over its life whatsoever when something goes wrong. But the surgeon has, and the complex machinery that he uses has, and our life sometimes can be wholly dependent upon the skillful hands of the surgeon. And being honest with ourselves, I think it is true to say that man really does like to create things and be in control. It brings him great satisfaction and great pleasure in seeing what he has done. And so with this principle in mind, when we have a look at the evidence in the Holy Bible, we soon become to realise that God, being the creator, he too receives great pleasure in controlling life, the heavens, the universe and the earth. Revelation tells us quite clearly, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. Let's go back to the very beginning, to the start of human life, to creation itself, where here we are not talking of man series, we are talking of God series, of how He created life in the beginning. And it's so easy to understand. You see, man's ideas of life, they cannot be proven one way or another. So easy, isn't it, to read what God says and say, yeah, that's quite good, that. It's easy to understand, isn't it? What's easier than reading and believing, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What a wonderful explanation of how life began. And it works. Of course it works. Because we're all stood here, breathing. Breathing what God put there to sustain life, the air that we breathe. Because God is in control. He created us. And the Creator is always more powerful than the created. God gave us life, and God can terminate it. Our lives are in the hands of God. God tells us they are. The days of years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength there be 80 years, is there strength, labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. Yeah, God told us how long on an average a person would live. Yeah, maybe 80, could be, my mum lived to be 95. But it's what the Bible says. This is our allotted span. And it was God that determined it, how long we should live. Wasn't Einstein or anybody like that at all. Oh no, you're going to live me so long. No, nothing to do with him or human beings. And the chapter that the president read for us this morning gives us a very good outline and a good detail of who is in control of this planet. And Psalm 147 clearly tells us this. Things are controlled by God. What does he say? Who covereth the earth with clouds? You answer that question. Who does it? Who prepareth the rain for the earth? I can guarantee that if you go outside there now and look up into the skies, you will see loads of clouds there with rain falling down. And who put them there? Man didn't put them there. God put them there. Because he says he did. Who maketh the grass grow upon the mountains, he says. You don't have to go very far, do you, to walk up onto the hillsides of the Pennines and you see miles and miles and miles of grass-covered moorlands. How do you think that grass got there? Well, I'll tell you now that it wasn't grown in the garden centres. No, it was always been there because God created it. It's part of nature. He giveth the beast his food, and to the young raven. Nature and wildlife doesn't rely on man to feed them, because man has no control over the kingdoms of the wild. No, it is God who looks after them. He placed them there in the wild. He knows the type of food they want. Because God looks after nature and the seasons. He controls them. Belief, faith, and trust in God. Unfortunately, people today take the hard line, don't they? And they don't really want to know. How can there be a God? You say he does all these things and he's in control. How can he be when we so much sorrow and so many problems? Okay, that is true. We do have the problems in life. It doesn't mean to say that God doesn't care. Okay, we may have financial problems in life. We may face redundancy. We may have the mental pressures that this world brings. We have the strain and the stress that we all have to associate with. This is the modern world in which we live. And if we are not fortunate enough to suffer from any of these things, then we have the problem of life itself, don't we? That our life will stop at some time in the future. But there are other problems in life, aren't there? Problems that other people have, problems that we don't have. We can go to other countries in this world and we see that they have a massive problem of food. shortage of food. We haven't got the shortage of food. We have political unrest, don't we, in many countries of the world. Between governments, one government arguing against another. We have the wars and we have the riots and the disruption, everything that countries can't agree on. Yes, they are problems, they are there. But these are man-created problems. We have other problems as well. Problems that man can't really alter or change. What about the slow movements of the ice caps, so they're telling us? You know, the threat between the balance of nature and normal things that keep changing. The polluted regions of the earth, like the rainforests, where they're slowly disappearing. There are things like this which man cannot do anything at all about. He tries. Oh, he does his best. But the problem is he can't do anything about it, can he? It is a fact of life, really, that man is not capable of solving the problems that we have upon this earth. In reality, he has no control over them at all. None whatsoever. And although it might try for a short time and things might look as if they're getting a bit, little bit better, then it will create another crisis. You see, man cannot get to the root of the matter. Because first of all, you've got to know the reasons why we have these problems and to know who can control them in the first place. And you have to know the cause. But man doesn't realise where the cause of all these problems come from. Why? Because man needs, man wants greed, man is selfish, man's obsession for power, and all these are the things that bring the problems upon our planet. But man doesn't think they are. And the Bible clearly tells us, doesn't it, that God says the heart of man will not want to follow in my ways because he is exceedingly wicked. And it's true. Man wants to do his own thing. And so if this is true, how can man put his trust in man? He can't, can he? Because there is no hope. None whatsoever. And God has been telling us this for over 6,000 years. But man will not listen. He still does his own thing and goes his own way. And that is why the world is what it is today. Not because God isn't in control or because God doesn't care, but because man has created all these problems. Listen to what the psalmist says. Put not your trust in princes nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. For it is better to trust in the Lord. And God knew this. And he's telling us, look, follow after me. Not after man. It is God's control over this planet that will determine the end and the future. For God is going to do what man is incapable of. And that is take away the problems and the sorrow and the pain, and he will replace it with joy and comfort and pleasure. As truly as I live, it says in Numbers 14, says God, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And this is why Jesus is going to return back to this earth, to fulfill God's plan. To solve all the problems. And when he does this, he's going to administrate justice in the way that it should be done. It will be done honestly and thoughtfully. And it will be done in care for the population that live upon this planet. There will be no shady dealings like these now. No deceit or corruption like we see in Parliament, like we have today. We are constantly seeing it on TV, aren't we? The dishonesty and the lies and the corruption in esteemed people so to speak. People in Parliament, they're corrupt, even among local and national MPs. There's all the slander there, isn't there, in the way they do things, but there were none of that. The true basis for everlasting joy and peace upon this planet which we live is in the love towards God and putting His principles first and following in His steps. God promises to take away man's authority, and He can only do this if He's in control over life. But He says He will, and He says He's going to do that by sending Jesus back to this earth. Human nature has a tendency to do his own thing. We know this to be true. And because man cannot save the problems upon this planet, why? Because he's too busy in reality creating them in the first place, isn't he? Then God doesn't get much pleasure, doesn't he? Can't get any pleasure when he looks down upon us and sees what we're doing, and yet he created it for his pleasure. So he's got to do something about it. It doesn't mean to say he's forgotten. No. In fact, quite the contrary. God really does care about this planet which he created. And he keeps proving it by every now and again he puts an interesting verse in there that tells us, God must be in control then. And he puts it there so it influences our thoughts and the way we feel and the way we think. And then one of those such verses is this. In Corinthians, Paul tells us, he says, "I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for those that love him." That's amazing. What a wonderful thing. God is saying to us there, look, okay, you might be despondent with the way you're living now, but look what I'm going to give you. What God is saying is, neither you or anybody has the capabilities of putting there what God can. In fact, the wonders that God can do with his controllability far outseeds anything that man can do. And he goes on to say, you shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Well, man can't change us. If he does, it's a change for the worst. But God can change us. And you know, it's an amazing, isn't it, that it's always good to have a change. It's always good to have a change. And especially a change for the better. And there will be a change because, as God promised, there will be a change. A change in human behaviour, a change in human life. Be a change for the better. It would be spectacular, really. Weighing out anything that man could ever think of, or dream of, or even do. What will he do that man cannot do? Well, first of all, let's have a look at the little things that are happening. Not little things, really. Well, to the starving millions, God will provide food and nourishment. And you know, this alone will solve over 20% of the world's problems, just on that one thing. Man can't do that. But I know we're not at starving levels, and we enjoy a lot of good food on a regular basis. But there will be other blessings to other people according to their environment. Let's think of the handicapped and the disabled. They will have a new lease of life. Their muscles and their limbs, they will be made whole. Once again, so they can do things. There will be no need of frames, no need of wheelchairs and walking sticks. They'll all be gone and thrown away. The eyes of the blind will be made open. That'd be amazing to those people that need that help. The terminal ill and the disease will be given a new lease of life. There will be no more need for capsules and pills, medication, close the hospital doors. Now, don't you think that's good? That can only be done if you're in control of life, and that is God. You know, man cannot find a solution to the damage that he has done to the elements of this planet. But God can. He will restore once again the things of nature which are not going quite as right as they should be. And you know, science and technology have done wonderful things to benefit humankind. In fact, not just in England, but all the world over. But sadly, they cannot determine or predict or control what the future will bring. Only God can do that. And God has allowed man to take control. He has given him that opportunity. But I think we will all agree that man isn't really very successful as doing what God wants, or bringing pleasure to God in the way that God wanted to do when he first created man. In fact, more than likely, if man was left to his own devices, he would probably end up destroying this planet upon which we live. Anyway, on the other hand, that is not God's intentions. It is God's intentions to take away man's ability and control over the way he's running things now. Just imagine there was no control over the planet and over the skies and the stars. Imagine there was no control over the sun and the moon and the earth. Imagine if no one had control over the times and the seasons, and everything would just go wrong. And, you know, the effect would be absolutely catastrophic. Why? Because all life would perish. Every single thing. So who creates them? The heavens and the earth and the universe. It's not by chance that all these things are there and move together in such a way. Man doesn't control them. There is only one answer, and that is God. The one who created all things in the beginning. And if he had to withdraw his power from the earth, then we could say goodbye to every single thing and life in this universe and planet. How good it is that God above has never gone on strike, because he was not treated to things he didn't like. If he but once sat down and said, "That's it, I'm through. I've had enough to those on earth, so this is what I'll do. I'll give my orders to the sun and cut off your heat supply, and to the moon give no more light, and run the oceans dry. Then just to make it tough and put the pressure on, I'll turn off the air and oxygen till everything is gone." He surely would be justified if fairness was the game, for no one has been more abused or treated with disdain. Thank God, and yet he carries on supplying you and me with all the favours of his grace, and everything's quite free. Men say they want a better deal, and so on strike they go. But what a deal we've given to God, to whom all things we owe. We don't care whom we hurt or harm to gain the things we like, but what a mess we'd all be in if God should go on strike. Without God in control, we would be in a state, wouldn't we? And that little poem is really food for thought, isn't it? Food for thought. And yet we can close by knowing that God is in control. And he tells us, doesn't he, in Revelation 21, and he says that In the end, God will wipe all away tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No, man cannot control life, can he? But God's promises automatically tell us that he must be able to control life because of the promises to tell us what he's going to do. Yes, man didn't create life. God created life. Thank you for being here. May your God go with you.